Babe, we're live, okay?
Anybody watching? Do you want me to start?
Yeah, probably.
You want to pray first?
Sure.
Just yell at each other?
Shh.
Don't you think?
Yeah, we're live right now, though.
Why are we live?
Letting people come. Is anybody watching? How do you tell? Oh, two people are watching. Hi. How do we tell? We'll be on in just a second. We're getting our communion elements ready. Welcome to my house. Are you watching? You want to log in and watch?
No, I have notes here.
We got about 5 minutes. Shelby.
Is he going to be on here too?
He's going to watch. Yep, you guys get your communion elements. How can I tell who's watching? Carla.
Do you have to add her?
How do you do this?
I don't know. Let's find out.
She's in the church. Right here.
That's the real. Do I switch to Serenity Church?
No. Here you are, okay.
Shelby.
So you got down here too.
If you don't watch.
Put it in mute.
There you are, okay.
We're just getting ready, guys. We're letting people join. Get your communion elements. Hi, Carla. Can you type? Logan's watching. Kimberly.
Where's mute at?
You need to turn it down like that. We're trying to figure out our phones here.
I'm about to whack us.
Catherine, hi. So glad you guys are here.
What do you see the name?
They're popping up right here. You see? Kinsley, my girl. Hi, honey. Get y'all's communion elements. Hi, Lisa Freeman. We'll get started in about 2 minutes. What's up, Ruth House? We're so glad you girls are watching. Love y'all. Get your communion elements. Logan's gonna bring the communion message. Shelby's sitting here laughing at me. The Ruth House is on.
Oh. 2 minutes.
I'm gonna grab a glass of water. Lori, hi, Aunt Lori. Don't do that. Hi, John. Hi, Rita. Yeah, how is the sound? Does it sound good? Okay, I see some hearts. I think the sound is good. We have dogs. We have lots of dogs. So there might be a few interruptions from our puppies. Please ignore those. Hi, Chris and James. Hi, Will and Wanda. Okay, it's 5 o'clock.
Let's give them a couple seconds.
Okay, I'm gonna go put the puppies in the cage.
Hi, everyone.
I'm speaking with the chair.
Okay. You may do that. Just take off?
Yeah.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to Serenity Church. I hope everyone is staying warm and is nice and safe. It's pretty cold out there. We've just been hunkered down here in the house and thinking about you guys and praying for you guys. And we're really blessed to be able to come to you guys on online. Man, technology is amazing, isn't it? And so I'm going to say welcome. Thank you for watching. Thank you for being a part of Serenity Church. We are so blessed to have the church family that you guys are. We're just so blessed. And I just love this church. It's where the miracle happened for me, and that's why you're not going to be able to run me off out of here. So let's just start with communion tonight. Let's do that. And if you don't have some communion elements, maybe you can get a piece of bread or a cracker and some juice, or you can even use water. It really doesn't matter. It's just symbolic, right? And so what I was thinking about, since no one was here, I invited a couple people over to do a communion meditation, but the roads were just really bad. And so I want to challenge you guys, and I want to ask you guys, what does communion mean to you? Why, take some time and think about it over the weekend. What does it mean to you? And pause and reflect on that, because we do a lot of people that come and tell us what it means to them. But I think oftentimes we are just trying to come up with a really good, eloquent message or something really deep and reflective to kind of say. But I want us to think about this weekend. What does communion really mean to you? And, you know, it's something that we do often. We do it every week, but we don't want it to be familiar. A lot of times it can get familiar, right? It can get routine, because that's just what we do at Serenity Church. And so we want to guard against that. It doesn't need to be like just this, okay, we're doing communion again. Okay, we're doing communion again. So it's not meant to be routine. It's not meant to be, you know, it becomes empty, right, when it falls off into that. I think Paul said that we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, when we take the bread and the cup. And so that, to me, that means it's a declaration. It's like a moment, right, where the gospel is preached, but not with words, but preached with symbols. The bread reminds us, right, of his body that was broken for us. He was broken for us so we don't have to be broken. He was broken for us so that we could be made whole. Like every lash that he took, every wound, every single agonizing moment on the cross, he endured that so we could have forgiveness, so we could have healing, so we could have peace with God, so we could have purity, so we could have provision, so we could partake in everything about Jesus we are partaking in. And then the cup represents his blood poured out for us for the forgiveness of sins. And I know I'm just so grateful for that, because, man, there's moments when I'm just so grateful for the forgiveness of sins, because there's just been so many in my life. It's just sometimes it just rears its ugly head, and sometimes it's easier to fight against that. Other times, the best way to fight against that is just to rest in knowing that he spilled his blood so that we would be forgiven. And we don't have to be ashamed. We don't have to be feel less than because we've fallen off into that. He did that for us. And it reminds us, right, that we're not saved by our own efforts. We're not saved by anything that we have done, but it's by what he did on that cross, his sacrifice. And so when I ask, what does communion mean to you? Maybe it's remembrance, remembering where you were, the dark place you were in, where you were at when Jesus brought you out of that, when he rescued you from the domain of darkness and transferred you into his marvelous light. Maybe it means gratitude, like I just expressed. A moment to simply say, thank you, Lord, for this grace that I don't deserve, and just how we can just rest in that grace, even when we're falling short, even when we're feeling less than, even when things aren't going our way, we can rest in that grace and be grateful for what he did. Maybe it means restoration, a chance to lay down guilt and lay down shame and failure and receive his mercy. His mercies are fresh every day. We can receive that again. Maybe it might mean unity to you, remembering that we are all one body and that he is the head. And so we are joined with him, standing on equal ground as a body, all of us together at the foot of the cross. It's just really, really cool. And when you hear these, read those letters that a lot of those guys wrote, and they were, as they were greeting the church, man, you can almost feel that togetherness, that we have found this amazing thing. We are united with Christ, and it's us against the world and all that's coming against us. We can have that gratitude knowing that we're in unity together. He also tells us to examine our hearts before we receive communion, something that we just did over here, and we prayed and we asked for forgiveness for our sins, because we just want to be clean coming to this moment. And he said that, not, I don't believe he meant to scare us or anything like that, but it's just an invitation to come honestly, to come transparently, like recovery teaches us. You know, we're not hiding anything from God anyway. Like, he knows it all. And so he invites us to, or Paul is inviting us to come with a clean heart, to just examine ourselves, so we don't have to be pretending, we don't have to be dishonest, we don't have to, all that stuff that we're, us, you know, in recovery, when we were in our darkness, we're so used to doing. But we can just come as we are, trusting that he will meet us right where we're at. You know, this is not, we say it all the time, we don't clean ourselves up and come to the table, we come to the table and Jesus cleans us up. It's not for perfect people, it's for forgiven people. And so, and then I was thinking about the hope, because Jesus did say that he would drink this cup again with us in his Father's kingdom. And we can have that kingdom mindset and fix our eyes on that day that we will again drink this cup with Jesus in the Father's kingdom, in his house. And so every time we do this, we're not only looking back at the cross, but we're also looking forward to his return, this kingdom mindset. So let us take the bread. This is the body of Christ, broken for you. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did, for enduring the cross, that you were broken so we don't have to be broken. God, we remember today what you did, in Jesus' name. Let's take the bread. And this is the blood of Christ shed for you. Let's take the juice or whatever you have there. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Let's remember the blood that he shed for us on the cross, so we could be made whole, so we could be, have oneness with the Father. Maybe some of us for the first time in our lives. So God, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you for what you did on the cross. We thank you for shedding your blood, for we know that it was an anxiety-filled moment as you were sweating drops of blood just before this, but you went through with it anyway, God. We love you for that. We were... remember that. And we will do this in remembrance of you. And we can't wait to drink this cup with you in the Father's house, in the Father's kingdom one day. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's take the juice. All right. So just want to thank everybody for again coming, for doing this a little off the wall. It's a little different for us. We want to thank you also for being such a generous church. Just want to remind you that the ways to give are right there on the website, trinitychurch.net or trinitychurch.org. You just scroll down to the little give tab. You can give right there on the Tithely app. You can text the word give to 844-991-3946. We still have the Zelle open. We still have Cash App. And there's an address on the website as well that you can mail that to. I don't think anyone really does that anymore, but we want to say thank you for your generosity. We couldn't do this without a generous church. We couldn't do this, what we're doing every week. And going on 20 years strong, Trinity Church has been a generous church, and we want to say thank you. So let me just kind of pray us in, pray over that. God, we love you, and we thank you for this day. We thank you for all the people that you've drawn to Facebook, how you can use social media as crazy as it is and as dark it can be sometimes, how distracting it can be. God, we see you using it right now for your glory, and we want to say thank you for that. And we want to say thank you that even though there's ice on the ground, we can still have church with our beloved family. And God, I just thank you for their generous hearts, and I want to just ask that you receive these gifts as an act of worship, that you will take them and multiply them and use them to make much of your name, enlarge your kingdom, create opportunities for people to get free from whatever is killing them, that bonds would be broken, that today someone would hear something that would cause them to see you a little bit differently. And so we just give you this whole service. I give you the message. We just give you the communion that we just had. God, I pray that you would move today in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, family. Jesselyn is here and she is ready. And we're looking forward to hearing what she has to say. So here she is.
Hey, everybody. I want to just let you guys know that this is not a recording studio. This is the Williams home. We have dogs, we have a child, and we have my mother-in-law. And there's noises in the house, so hopefully the dogs will behave for just a little bit. And I'm just excited to be here to have service in my home. Isn't that awesome? We would have never thought this would happen. So God is so good. And I pray that all of y'all are warm. You have something warm to drink, and maybe a blanket or two, or a dog to cuddle up with. And hi, Lisa. And we just love y'all. I'm looking at your comments. We have 29 people on here, and that's awesome. So let's get started. So let's see. So also I want to mention that sometimes with these storms and things like that, we get isolated this time of year. And Carla mentioned this in a prayer chain earlier today, that you do not have to be alone. Don't keep your eyes on the storm. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Pick up the phone. Call us. Logan and I are here. Shay and Trina are also here. Aunt Lori and Uncle Bill, they go to bed by 8 o'clock. So get your phone call into them before 8 o'clock. But they're there for you too. And we're all praying for y'all. Don't go through the storm alone. If you need anything, please let us know. And this month's series, as you know, is on overcomers. So far, we've heard from Logan, Aunt Lori, Shay. They have all brought the Overcomer's message. And all three of them have many things that they've overcome through Jesus. So they have so many nuggets in each one of their sermons. You don't want to miss it. You can find those past sermons on our website or on Facebook, and I believe YouTube as well. They should be up there. So how do you overcome? In Revelation 12, we read that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. To overcome anything, you must first believe and receive the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And the second part of overcoming is by telling your testimonies. If you follow Jesus, he will give you many, many testimonies throughout your life. You will be living proof that the power of God is still active in this world today. So we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Let me mute my computer. Okay. Here at Serenity Church, there are many reasons for being here, as there are people here. Everyone here is trying to overcome something. And if you say you're not trying to overcome anything, then that's what you're probably trying to overcome. Denial. Some of us have already overcome a few things. And if you are a newcomer, meaning you recently have gotten away from that one thing that was killing you, and you're now following Jesus, praise the Lord. But you will quickly learn that life isn't always rainbows and butterflies. Shay always says, once you give your life to Christ, you get baptized, you have a big old target on your back. And we have three enemies in this world as Christians, and that is the world, the flesh, and the devil. And they're always trying to trick you and deceive you. There will always be something to overcome. There will always be places in your life that you're going to need to grow in also. So what I want to talk to you about is actually the second part of this scripture. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So let's work on getting you a testimony. So if someone asks you right now, what is your testimony? Or why do you believe in Jesus? Or why do you believe in the Bible? Would you be ready to give it a go? Would you be ready to give your testimony? We must be ready at all times to give a testimony. I know, and I'm grateful that I have hundreds of testimonies. I'm 7.5 years sober, and God has moved in my life so many times. If someone was to say to me, hey, we want you to tell your testimony next week at church, I could go in so many directions depending on the audience. Praise God. He's given me so many amazing life-changing moments, and I absolutely love it. And I want that for each one of you also. I have childhood testimonies. I have baptism testimonies, healing, financial provisions, recovery testimonies, actually hearing the voice of God testimonies. He's called me by name, Jessalyn. And then I've had testimonies of being in the right place at the right time. And I also have testimonies with my children and my marriage. And all of those are important. They are all important. Why are they important, you ask? Well, I'm so glad you asked, because I'm about to tell you. It's important because when we receive the blood of the Lamb, Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for our sins, we believe his victory. We believe in his victory. Jesus defeated sin and death. Amen. He defeated the enemy. And when we tell our testimony, we are telling others that Jesus defeated the enemy on the cross, and he also defeated the enemy personally in your life. That means right now, in this time, right now, the love of God is working right now, and he is able to defeat the enemy, the sin, the shame, and the darkness in anyone's life. If he can do it in my life, he can do it in anyone's life. And that is why it's important. Our testimony means Jesus is still working right now. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
In 12-step groups, we are encouraged to speak about our testimony, but we don't call it a testimony. We call it sharing our experience, strength, and hope with someone. And when we do that, we give our testimony or share our experience, strength, and hope with someone who is suffering as we once suffered. It gives people hope that there is a way out. And the enemy is a liar. Jesus has the victory, and he can do for you what he's doing for me. And that is how we overcome. Okay. So let's get you some amazing testimonies. I have, like I said, some deep, meaningful, incredible ways how God has worked in my life. There's truly no way any of these things could have happened apart from the loving divine power of God working in the details and bringing them all together to make something beautiful. And every time God gives me a new testimony, it's really the best high I've ever experienced. It's the most incredible feeling that I've ever received when I have confirmation that the creator of the universe sees little old me and he proves to me that he's working in my life. Sometimes I even get the shakes. Like, I'll get very shaky when I realize God just did something amazing for me and let me be a part of something amazing. You don't want to miss this. So every time he does this, it gives me the power and motivation to keep running the race, just to see him move. I get addicted to seeing God move. Don't you?
I do.
And I want everyone here to personally have this experience too, and have them often. Everyone here should want a testimony and a supernatural, unbelievable God moment. And hey, if you're paying attention, can you type the word testimony in the comments? So, how do we get a supernatural experience? I knew you were going to ask this question, so let me transition to my next point. Our testimonies are powerful, but they are not the source of power. They are the fruit from that power. You got that? Our testimonies are powerful, but they are not the source of power. They are the fruit from that power. When we share our testimonies, we're really talking about what God has done in us and through us. But testimonies don't come from isolating ourselves. They don't come from keeping yourself busy 24 hours a day. They don't come from keeping your nose attached to your cell phone and watching your screen all the time and watching social media.
Ouch.
Testimonies come from a relationship with God. You must abide in Christ. To abide in Christ is to stay connected to him continuously. This is one of those Christianese words that you don't often hear, abide, unless you are in church or getting in trouble for not abiding by the law or by the rules. So I have a couple of definitions for the word abide. One definition is to accept or act in accordance with, like following a rule or following a law, following a decision. Another definition is to be able to tolerate something or someone. I hope you're able to tolerate your Heavenly Father. Another definition is continue without fading or being lost. And my favorite one, which is the spiritual definition, is to dwell and remain connected to living in a state of continuous faithful relationship with God. To abide in Christ means we must stay connected with him. And if you have your journals and your pens, I hope some of y'all do. I'll give you some scriptures to read later on and meditate on. And I'm going to the book of John and chapter 15. John 15, 4 through 5. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches.
Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is the one that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Continuing in John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. John 15:9-10, as the Father has loved me, so I love you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abided in his love. And the last one I'm going to read is 1 John 4:15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love of God that he has for us. God's love is, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Okay, to abide means to be with God and stay connected with him, like the vine is connected to the branch. You cannot produce a testimony and you cannot produce fruit if you do not stay connected to God. Okay. If you are paying attention, type abide in the comments, please. Okay. To live in a state of continuous faithful relationship with God. Doesn't that sound amazing? To just live in the sunlight of the Spirit and live with God and just feel him and feel his presence. That is what heaven's going to be like. To live in the presence of God forever. It is beautiful. I get to have these unbelievable moments, and sometimes I get full days where I sit in awe and wonder of his glorious love for me. Typically, I experience those days when I get out of town and get out in the country away from a cell phone signal, go camping, have a campfire, look at the stars, and just look at God's creation. We have an Overcomers retreat. Anytime I go on a retreat with our Overcomers family, I always feel God's presence. And I absolutely love that so much. Then I have days where I'm distracted and I can't get my mind to settle down. I can't seek him and focus on him. I know he's there because he's always there, but I just don't have that feeling. And the feeling I get when I know God's there and I'm abiding in him and I'm focusing on him is like a hug. Do you know what I mean? Like when you hug someone you really, really love, you feel warm and fuzzy, and sometimes you get goosebumps and it feels so good. Well, that's what it feels like to me when I'm abiding in Christ. Some days I realize I haven't felt that hug in quite a few days, and I start to feel depleted. I get tired, I get annoyed, and I get sad and depressed. And I quickly feel convicted when I get this way, because it's all my fault. God is always here. It's me that gets distracted. And so I have to pull myself back. These are the times when I wish that I did not have self-will. I don't know if you know what I mean, but like, God, why did you give me self-will? Because I get so full of myself. If I could just do what I was created to do, which is to be in connection with you, it would be great. But no, I have this self-will and I get selfish and self-centered. My ego kicks in and I start to get entitled. I'm entitled to binge watch this TV show all day long because I've been working so hard. I get entitled to scroll on Facebook and see what everybody's doing, or watch 30-second videos for hours at a time, making my brain into mashed potatoes. And that is how I get disconnected from God. I just start feeling selfish and self-centered and like I deserve to have this time all day long doing nothing and being apart from God. But really, I'm just hurting myself, because if I'm spending time with God, he's filling me up. And and overflowing me and showing me miracles and teaching me things and downloading amazing things to my brain. One of the worst things that I can do to get distracted now is works. This is another thing that I do is I work. This is where I fill my plate up for weeks at a time with my usefulness. I'm very useful. I know how to do things. And so I will be the only one that is able to do this. And I need to drive over here and drive over there and serve here and serve there and really when I do that, I'm not allowing my Heavenly Father into my life. I don't spend that quiet time with Him. And I get so dependent on me that I don't allow God to send someone else. He has plenty of people that He can send. But I think I need to do it. So I also get convicted when I realize I'm running around trying to be useful in the kingdom of God by adding endless amounts of work to my plate. And I get no time to sit down in the presence of God. So whatever you fill your plate up with, there are only 24 hours in a day. Are any of those hours on your plate set aside for quiet time with God? I know there is more freedom in abiding in Christ than getting distracted with all the things of the world. Just say yes to Him. We have a deep need in each one of us to be in a relationship with God. My friend Nathan says, prioritize your secret place. Prioritize your secret place, your time with God. And I know what some of you might be thinking right now. Let me take a drink. You might be thinking, well, doing service work and sitting on your phone or binge watching is better than what I was doing a couple of months ago. It's better than what I was sinning, the ways I was sinning and the darkness I was living in. And you're absolutely right. Doing service work and watching TV is not a bad thing. And I would rather some of y'all who are less than a year sober or less than a year and a half sober to fill up a lot of your time with service work and working on the steps. That's very important. There's plenty of things that we could give you. Serenity Church needs help set up. Serenity Church needs help cleaning up. Ken and Katrina have shipwrights. They would love for you to go with them and serve. Yes, service work is not a bad thing. It's actually vital in your recovery, but abiding in Christ empowers us to truly overcome. Someone type overcome in the comments. All right. I love y'all. You are participating. This is awesome. All right. 1 John 3:24. Whoever keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He abides in him. And by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us. So keeping His commandments. So let me just say, if you keep His commandments, you abide in Him and He abides in you. If we are actively participating in sin, we are separating ourselves from God. Just like Adam and Eve, when they ate the fruit, they were removed from the Garden of Eden. They were no longer able to walk in the garden with God. This is the same for us. When we are actively choosing to sin, when we are knowingly participating in it, we are not losing God's love. We're not losing God's love. We are separating ourselves from experiencing it. Yes, repentance is always available because of the blood of the Lamb. Grace is never out of reach for you if you are actively participating in sin. But sin still creates distance from you and our Heavenly Father. It causes us to miss moments of intimacy, clarity, and connection with Him. Just like Adam and Eve in the garden, they were still created and loved by God, but sin removed them from walking with Him in the garden. The relationship remains, but the closeness was broken. Is there sin in your life that you are actively participating in that's keeping you from closeness with God? Let's get rid of it today. Let's get rid of it. You don't want to miss your intimacy with God. You don't want to miss what he can do for your life and your purpose. There is so much that we can get from God, but we cannot let sin block us from that. All right. So how do we overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we get our testimony by abiding in him. Amen. All right. So at my Sunday church, Life Fellowship, we have an overcomers group there at Life Fellowship Church in McKinney's on Monday night. Many of you attend and many of you have been there for a visit. This month in the series that Pastor Chris is bringing, he decided to challenge everyone to ask God for a word from God for this year. Just one word that could help us focus on growing closer to God. Because after all, if you're not growing, you're dying. Amen. So when we all were in the church and listening to him, I closed my eyes and I searched for this extravagant, the perfect voice from God. And I wanted this amazing word that was going to get me through the year. And I'm sitting there like, God, what do you have for me? Yes, Lord. And I heard really loud the word, shh. And I was like, wait a minute. That's not even a word. And I looked around and so I said, okay, that's not a word. Let me try again. So, okay, God, let me. And I closed my eyes and he's like, no, your word is shh. What's wrong? Why can't that be the word? The word is shh. Stop searching. So I said, okay, shh is my word and I'm going to stop searching. And okay, once I did that, God started downloading all these things. And what he said was, this world is trying to drown out the voice of God with all of its noises and all of its distractions. The binge watching, like I said, the social media, doom scrolling, the business that comes from work, traffic, laundry, paying bills, my family, my puppies, all of those things can drown out the word of God if I let them. And I, like I said, I've been guilty of taking the 24 hours a day and not giving God a look, any of it. And so I leave the scraps for God, if anything, when I get super busy, and that's sad. And so I've been convicted. I'm going to shh, and I'm going to, repent and turn away. And I have for this part of the year. Hopefully I can keep doing it. I'm going to commit to the word shh. And then after Chris, Pastor Chris at Life Fellowship said, you know, challenge us with getting our word from God. The next week, he wanted us to get a statement or a scripture to carry us through. And it's kind of funny because during Christmas, I was packing up my Christmas tree and all the Christmas decorations, and I opened a box, and at the bottom of the box, in this little empty box, was a book I found that was about that thin, and it's titled Practicing the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. It's a really cool book. Basically, the book has letters from Brother Lawrence to people, and also conversations from Brother Lawrence to with people, and also some just people describing how Brother Lawrence lived his life. And this book, what's really cool about it, it was written in the 1600s, and these letters, just the way that Brother Lawrence lived his life, he just continuously searched for God. And when he would get busy and when he would forget, he says he would repent, and there God was. And he always was, just had a beautiful life because he continually practiced the presence of God. And so, the next week, Chris
Pastor Chris said, hey, I want you to find a statement that's going to carry you through the year and let you remember your word. So obviously practicing the presence of God was mine. And I got so excited because I just felt like I needed to tell Chris this. And it just so happened that on a Monday he was at church and we were having an overcomers meeting. So I ran up to Chris, Pastor Chris, and I said, hey, you want to know what my word was? And it was shh. And then God told me my statement, and it was practicing the presence of God, because I just found that book. And he looked at me funny, and I'm thinking, he's looking at me funny. I know, shh is not a word, but that's what God gave me. But he said something totally different. He said, wow, I'm reading that book too. And I have to read it for my master's program. And I thought, wow, this is actually divine. You know, God gave me this word, and I felt so good about it. So I'm excited. And that's why my message title for this message is Practicing the Presence of God. But you don't know that because we don't have slides. I'm sorry. But yeah, it just was so exciting to me that all of that came together. And that's what God does. Which is awesome. All right, let's see. I lost my notes here. Let me find. So my assignment for 2026 is to shut off the noisy devices to be closer to God and do whatever it takes to get close to him this year. And practicing the presence of God involves opening the word of God, reading and studying the word of God. It also includes meditating on his word. You can do that no matter where you are in recovery. Even though step 11 is sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. That is step 11. But a wise man named Ken Blackerby told me that any of the steps that have a one in front of them, you can do no matter where you are in your steps. So even if you're on step one, you can go into meditation right now. And you don't have to wait till you get to step 11. So you don't have to wait to prioritize your meditation time or prioritize your secret place. So do it. All right. And then just for this, my last part of this message, I'm going to challenge every one of you listening here tonight. And you might want to get a journal, a pen, and take a couple of notes right now, because I'm going to give you some steps on how you can grow closer to God in your meditation time. It's a really awesome thing that I recently learned. And it's a practice called Lectio Divina. Lectio Divina, that's what it's called. Different language, hard to say. Lectio Divina. And it translated means divine reading. And just a little history on Lectio Divina. It traces back to early Christian desert monks formalized by Saint Benedict in the 16th century. And it is a core practice for his monks, emphasizing listening with the ear of the heart. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to listen with the ear of our hearts. And there's a little controversy on this. You'll read, if you study this and research it, their origins on the history are kind of different. Some, I don't know, obviously meditating on God's word did not start by these desert monks. All believers from the beginning of time have meditated on God's word. But for the sake of giving you a takeaway and some steps, I'm going to make it easy. 5 steps. And so one other thing I want to mention is that Lectio Divina should not replace intellectual studies of the Bible. So it should not replace historical contexts of the Bible or the meaning of each scripture, or maybe why did they write this scripture at the time they wrote it. You can also study Hebrew and Greek and Aramaic words from the Bible. So continue to do those things. But you can also do this meditation practice. It's just a technique of listening with the ear of your heart. And what will happen when we read these scriptures is the Holy Spirit will tell you personally through each scripture something just for you. And the last thing I want to mention is if you get something and you're unsure about it, I want to ask you to bring it to me or Logan or Shay or Trino or Aunt Lori and ask our opinions of what you have journaled down when you are when you're meditating. Because sometimes when we're new in Christianity, we're not really sure exactly if this is the voice of the Holy Spirit, if I'm making up in my mind or what. So feel free to bring us what you write down. We listen and we don't judge. All right, here we go. So the first step in Lectio Divina is to prepare. So get your quiet space, get a journal. Some people want to light a candle and just have a nice candle burning. Sometimes for me, because I do have a noisy house, I stick my earplugs in and I make everything quiet. Get your Bible and let's see, and say a prayer. Invite God into this time with you. Invite God to speak to you in your secret place. And the next step is lectio, which means read. Read the Bible passage that you're interested in. It's a good idea if you're not sure where to start to read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the Gospels of Jesus. You can also start in Proverbs or Psalms. Those are also really good places to meditate. That's what I would suggest. So lectio, read, choose about 3 to 15 verses to read on. And what you're going to do is you're going to take your Bible and read those 3 to 15 verses slowly. And you're going to read them about 3 or 4 times over and over. And you're going to listen while you read slowly for the still small voice to point out words to you or to point out sentences to you or pieces of those scriptures. And some will speak louder than others. So when you get that, you move on to our next step, and that is meditatio, which is meditate. When a word or a phrase sticks out to you, stop and rest and write it down. Repeat it. Repeat the word or phrase to yourself. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you in a personal way in your thoughts or your memories or your hopes. You have experiences, personal experiences that this word or verse could open up, and write it down. And just remember that. So one of the questions I like to ask is like, God, why are you pointing this out to me? And that takes us to our next step, it is oratio, which means respond. And so we respond to the word that God gave us by journaling and praying. So this is where our conversation with God happens, by journaling or praying. Prayer is a conversation. It is not a bunch of fancy words. It is basically, Lord, what are you telling me with this word? How does it apply to me? God, what do you want me to do with this message? Do you want me to speak to someone about this message? Journal that down, ask him, and this is praying. When you're talking to God, you're praying. It is as simple as that, a conversation. So that is how you respond to the word. And then the next step, the last step is the fifth step. It is contemplatio, which is rest. Rest in God's presence and receive his warm hugs. Receive his embrace. Be still. When you're still and meditating and you're practicing the presence of God, you can feel him hugging you. Words are not necessary at this point. You can get downloads and receive download from God. It can be a whole paragraph sometimes in just a few seconds. He will start giving you downloads. Allow God's love to fill you up with his joy and overflow out of you. If you are still with me, type here. Okay, that was a lot of directions. I hope you got that. And that is how you practice the meditation, Lectio Divina. And if you need these steps, you can Google them if you didn't write them down, because there's quite a few ways to do, there's not quite a few ways, but there's quite a few websites with these on them. Okay, so this is a great way to start getting closer to God and making time with him your priority. So we are all in the house this weekend, and with the icy roads, this is a perfect time an activity that you can start this weekend. I really hope you do, and I hope that next Saturday when I see all of y'all, you will have your journals, or you will have a word, or you can tell me how God spoke to you. I would love to hear that. Please tell me. I want to hear it. And at this time, I would like to ask the band to come back up. Just kidding. We don't have a band tonight. So let's see. This is about the end of our message. And I want to thank you all for joining us tonight. Praise the Lord for his word, the word this evening, and giving me downloads. Whew, it looks like we have some really cold days coming up tomorrow. So y'all stay safe and warm. You are stuck in the house with your family. So let's be kind. Let's be kind to our family. I know we got in a little upset moment today in our house. So we've prayed, we've repented. We're stuck in the house and we are usually out and about. So it's kind of crazy for us. But Logan said he has a couple of announcements, but he wants me to pray first. So let's pray. And don't go away after I pray, because Logan's going to come up with some.
They're asking you to.
No, I am not singing. Jesslyn doesn't sing. Can you hear this voice? All right. So let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for loving us right where we are, Lord. Thank you for cleaning us up. Thank you for hearing us and making us a new creation in Christ. Thank you for lifting us up from the muck and the mire, Father God, and seeing us and loving us and just cleaning us up, God. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory. Lord, we thank you that you still work in our lives today. We thank you for the testimonies you've already given us and the testimonies that you're going to give us. Lord, we can't wait for new testimonies, Father God. Lord, I ask you, please help those people that are on the streets, Lord God. There's people that are homeless in tents, Father God. I ask that you provide them with warmth and shelter, food. I ask you to open up doors for them to come closer to you, Lord. I ask for them to have a little bit of willingness in their heart, because I know that once we have just a little bit of willingness, you pull us through, Father God. So I'm praying for these people, Lord, that are on the streets right now, Father God. Lord, I pray for the suffering addict, Lord, for the suffering alcoholic. Lord, I pray for marriages that are strained right now, Lord. I pray for the prodigal sons and daughters to come back home, Father God. Lord, I pray for families to be united again, Lord God. I pray for you to move in everyone's heart right now that's listening right now, Lord God. Give them, each man and each woman, a new testimony to share your loving power and how you move in our lives today, Father God. God, we just love you so much, and we want to feel your embrace. We want to feel your hugs, Father God. So let us all feel them, Father God. Thank you for Serenity Church. Thank you for Facebook Live. Thank you for all those that have joined tonight. And we give you all the glory and honor and praise, Lord. You're awesome. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So just want to remind everyone that we have overcomers. I'm not sure if how the streets are going to look Monday. If the church is closed, then we won't be having it at Live Fellowship Church. But that group is growing. We had 18 people there last week and like three sponsors. So I've got two guys that are on their fourth step right now, but we could sure use some help. Sponsoring people over there Wednesday. Don't forget, we'll have a speaker meeting at 7 o'clock. I think we get there, what, six to eat? I'm not familiar because I know I'm in the prison, but one of my prison pastors.
They start at five.
5 o'clock.
They start at five to eat.
Five to eat. One of my friends is going to speak. His name is Scott Graham. He does prison ministry at Gateway. He's been sober in AA since 2018, and he loves the Big Book. And so I can't wait to hear his story. I'm actually going to be there so I can introduce him. I'm not going to the prison on Wednesday. I will be there. So don't miss it. We know you want to be there too. And there's free food. Okay.
Andy wants you to sing, honey.
Me?
Yeah, Andy.
I can't sing, man. And then we also have Overcomers in Decatur at Oak Grove Methodist Church Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock. So don't forget that we have meetings. We want to do live with you. And like Jesslyn said, you can always reach out to any of us at any time. We're here and we love you guys. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much for just being a part of our family, our church family, doing this journey together. It's awesome, isn't it? Thank you. We love you.
Love you. Mm-hmm. Shelby, you want to say hi?
Oh.
Shelby will sing.
Oh, I can't sing.
Say love y'all.
Love y'all.
Stay warm.
Yeah, stay warm and drink as much hot chocolate as you possibly can. And bake cookies. Cake things are good.
All right. Good night, guys.